Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are here for you. The regular season is over in college football, but it's Championship Saturday. So many big-time games and matchups to dissect. He's the dissector over there. Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles, their video scouting guru, at FDuffy3 on Twitter. My name is Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Encourage you guys to follow us on social media and retweet stuff like that. Very, very much appreciated. You also know that every week we give out a Madden game. That's usually on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. This week, it's the same as last week. We're going Amazon. So go to RossTucker.com. Take advantage of the Amazon banner ads there. I think we have one for the UK, for Canada, for the US. Click on the one that corresponds to you. Make whatever purchase you were planning to make anyway. And then forward that email, you know, receipt that you get to me, ross@rostucker.com. Let me know if you're looking for the PS4 version or the Xbox version. Let's start with the quarterbacks, Fran, and we don't have a ton to talk about here with the quarterbacks that we've been the big three, if you will, that we've been tracking all year.
Yeah, between the three of them, only one half of football really between all three players this weekend. Sam Darnold, his team USC, was on a bye. Josh Allen didn't play against San Jose State because of that shoulder injury. He was available on an emergency basis, but did not play in the game. He said that he wants to play in the team's bowl game, so that is important to note. And also, I think it's also important also to realize that he is eligible to play for the Senior Bowl. As long as he's got his degree, that would be a huge opportunity if he does decide to take advantage of that for Josh Allen to go down to Mobile, since he would be a graduating junior, to go down to Mobile and impress NFL teams, get NFL coaching throughout the course of the week, and see how he performs. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks really help themselves down there at the Senior Bowl over the last couple of years, and that would be a good opportunity for Josh Allen. And then Josh Rosen, they played Cal this past week, 13 of 18 for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, all just in the one half. He was sacked 3 times, and on the last one, landed pretty hard on his shoulder and his neck late in the second quarter. UCLA decided to hold him out the rest of the game, not to risk further injury. So Rosen only one half of football in his last regular season game, most likely with the Bruins. And then, like I said, Darnold on the bye this week, but coming up, they've got Stanford on Friday night, Pac-12 title game. Earlier in the season, they beat Stanford, and Darnold was 21 of 26, over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have 2 picks in the game. That was all the way back in week 2. So it will be interesting to see how the rematch goes. Stanford's got a couple of really interesting defensive players at every level. So I think that'll be a really good matchup to watch for Sam Darnold on Friday night.
Fran, I think we expect Rosen to leave school. Can you see him in Chip Kelly's offense, kind of like a Nick Foles type in that offense?
Yeah, I mean, if he were to stay, they would make it work. I would say it's probably not an ideal situation, you know, in terms of, you know, his skill set and what he's going to be asked to do in Chip's offense. You know, I think Chip Kelly had to do what he had to do in the NFL because he knew that exact style probably wasn't going to fly. But I think that he's going to do what you saw him do at Oregon when out there at UCLA. So I would imagine, and, you know, signs seem to point that way anyway, but I would imagine you've seen Josh Rose for the last time in UCLA. I would imagine he'll come out. And that's what everybody seems to think anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yep, and that matchup between Darnold and Stanford should be really interesting. I would imagine that Allen, there's a pretty good chance he does play in the Senior Bowl, since Wentz did. Same, you know, similar coaches, but you never know. A lot of times that depends on what their representation tells them, you know,
and yep, exactly.
The advice they get there. So we shall see. Speaking of the Senior Bowl, it is that time, Fran. Let's start with some of the new names we saw this week. How about the running back position?
Yeah, we saw Akram Wadley from Iowa, a guy we've talked about numerous times on this podcast, kind of a change of pace type of back, but I really like him in that role. Wadley's a really quick, kind of a dynamic option out of the backfield. He catches the ball well. He's a tough runner, even though he's a little bit undersized, but I still like his toughness and competitiveness as a ball carrier. He will give good effort and pass protection as well. So I think Wadley's got the ability to step into the NFL and be somewhat of an impact player early on and get early playing time. So I'm a big fan of Wadley. Also, the fullback from Oklahoma, Dimitri Flowers, who has done a lot for that Oklahoma program, worn a lot of different hats in that offense, will also be going down there. So two of the big running back additions to join Royce Freeman, who was announced a week ago.
Tight end?
Yeah, they announced Tyler Conklin from Central Michigan, who I haven't gotten a chance to do a full study on, as well as Chris Herndon from Miami. And it's a shame because he just got hurt over the weekend, and it looks like he has a torn MCL, so he'll be out for a few weeks. They announced, with the announcement for Herndon, that his participation in the event is to be decided. My guess is he probably wouldn't play. Really what they're probably waiting on is to see if he's going to go down anyway, kind of go through the motions in terms of meeting with teams and being able to be there at practice. We've seen that over the last few years down there at the Senior Bowl. I know Chad Kelly was one person who did that as well last year. So we'll see if Chris Herndon does go to the Senior Bowl, be a part of the South team roster, and just kind of go through all the motions there as a part of that event, which would be the Senior Bowl is a great opportunity for any player, especially just because of the experience, not just of playing with those coaches and getting that NFL coaching, but then also just the exposure you get. You know, you're getting to meet with all 32 teams over the course of a 5-6-7-day span, and it's a great opportunity. So I'd imagine Herndon will be down there in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Did you talk about Conklin? Is Conklin related to Jack Conklin or no?
I don't think so. I haven't done a full study on him yet, so I haven't done the full in terms of looking up his background and everything. I mean, he's 6'3", 250. He's got pretty good length to him. I know some people that were pretty high on him coming into the year. I just haven't done a full breakdown on him. I'm not sure if he was related to Jack or not.
Interesting. All right. What about some of the old linemen?
Yeah, they announced Isaiah Wynn, a guard from Georgia, who I haven't done a study on yet either, but I'll tell you what, I really liked the other guard that they announced yesterday, the kid Sean Welsh from Iowa. He's undersized at 6'2", 300 pounds. You could tell he's got really short arms, so he's going to turn some people off. But this kid's a four-year starter at Iowa. You know, he played right tackle, he's played left guard, he's played right guard, so he's played a number of different spots for them. Has also played center over the course of the offseason this year. They thought he was going to end up playing center for them, so they love the position versatility. He's a pretty good athlete. I like his feet on the inside, and then also he uses his hands really well. He's really technically sound. I think he's got the ability to be a zone-blocking interior lineman at the next level because of how he uses his hands. He shows good timing in his punch and pass protection, and he just has a really good sense of timing overall in the zone run game. So I'm a big fan of Sean Welsh. He's got one of those high-floor guys that has the ability to, at worst, stick as a swing backup on the interior, but I think he's got starting potential at the next level.
D-line, there's a big one there. Maurice Hurst, I saw that name. He'll be one of the better guys there, don't you think?
I would say so. You know, he's one of the best defensive linemen in this class. Right now, he's the best prospect that's been announced for the game. He's another guy who's a little bit undersized, but, man, he is really disruptive. He's got a really quick first step. He times the snap really well. He's got a really high motor, athletic kid that he's only a one-year starter, but he's been a four-year player for the Wolverines. He's been a guy that's played a lot of snaps for that team over the course of his career. So you're getting an interior disruptor, and those kind of guys can make themselves a lot of money down there in Mobile. And, you know, you get to those one-on-ones, everybody's sitting there watching the offensive lineman, the defensive lineman. I think that Maurice Hurst has the ability to really help himself down there, down in the Senior Bowl. So that's a good get for them. And then also on the defensive line, don't forget about Justin Jones. You know, another three-technique kind of player, 6'2", just under 310 pounds. He's a two-year starter for them in that 4-3 scheme for the Wolfpack. And they've got a few other defensive linemen that I would expect are going to get some interest there for the Senior Bowl as well. But Justin Jones, he, again, wins with that quickness. He's got that really nasty swim move, that arm over right off the snap. So that ability to win quickly, I think, will help him as well. he's got to get a little bit stronger, hold up a little bit better against the run. But I think that this guy's got the ability to be a really quick, athletic gap shooter at the next level. We'll see, you know, in terms of how he fits, if he can be a starter or if he's more of a sub-package player early on. But Justin Jones is another really interesting player, kind of flying under the radar with the addition of Maurice Hurst.
I thought it was interesting, too, Fran, as we had talked last year about all the different Michigan guys and how many might get drafted, that Eric Magnuson and Ryan Kalis have both started some NFL games this year. Two of the Michigan guys that didn't get drafted have not only made teams, they've started games. I mean, just gives you a little more indication of what Michigan produced last year. How about at linebacker for the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, you got a first-year starter on the outside in Garrett Dooley. It's at 6'3", 246 pounds, playing for Wisconsin, kind of off the edge as a 3-4 outside linebacker. I don't think Dooley's going to be a great pass rusher at the next level, but he's one of those do-everything guys. We've seen a couple of those guys come through that scheme, through that system over the last couple of years. It seems like they've been churning them out each of the past two or three years. And Dooley, I think, is next up on that list. Again, don't think he's going to be a quality pass rusher, but you know, a nice run defender, a nice coverage player, can do a lot of little things well for an NFL defense.
Keeping it rolling, how about the corners? I love it. We got an FCS guy. Let's talk as much as you want about the FCS guy. Those are the most important guys to talk about.
So you'll remember that last week they announced, they announced 26 names last week, and they had so many small school corners. You know, we saw Chandon Sullivan from Georgia State. They're in the Sun Belt, not necessarily FCS, but Saran Neal from Jacksonville State. And you know, you had Michael Joseph from Dubuque, and we talked about the kid Simeon Thomas from Louisiana Lafayette over the last few weeks. We talked about DeMontre Wade from Murray State last week. So they've brought in a lot of small school defensive backs. They've done that over the course of the last few years. And then, yesterday they announced Teron Johnson from Weber State, who is the Big Sky defensive MVP this past year. You know, obviously has been very, very productive over the course of his career. He doesn't have quality NFL size. Teron Johnson, he's under 5'11". He's really skinny at 183. So it'll be interesting to see how he ultimately measures in when he goes to weigh-ins down there in Mobile. But another opportunity for another small school defensive back to come in. And then lastly, they added another guy that not a lot of people have seen, not a lot of people have watched. I'm excited to do a lot more work on him, and that's the safety Trayvon Henderson from Hawaii. He's kind of bounced around from corner to safety throughout his career as well. And Henderson has the ability to help himself down there in Mobile. So 11 names overall gives us 11 names yesterday gives us 37 names overall already now for the Senior Bowl.
Getting into some of the juniors declaring, I think probably the most notable one I saw, Fran, was Texas left tackle Connor Williams came off the knee injury. What did he play, a game or two? And now he's declared and also said he won't play in the bowl game.
Yep. And look, I'm a fan of Connor Williams. I do like the player, but I think that a lot of people are kind of billing him as a top 10, top 15 talent. And I haven't seen that yet, at least as a tackle. He's been a 3-year starter for them at left tackle, so it's not necessarily that he doesn't have the experience there. I just, when I watch him, I see a guy that still needs a lot of work in terms of how he plays the game. I'd like to see him get a little bit bigger and stronger, but then also just overall, just his use of hands, I think he needs to get a little better, but really it's the core strength. I don't think he plays to his size, his listed size. I'd like to see him play a lot stronger. The injury obviously was an issue, but I didn't think that Connor Williams was a ready-made player to come in and start a tackle. Now, this is all based off of what I saw in 2016. I still have a lot more work to do from this season, but Connor Williams declaring, I think, is really interesting. I don't know how you feel. I know how you felt last year about guys like McCaffrey and some of those running backs saying that they weren't going to participate in the bowl game. Do you feel any differently about a left tackle?
Not really. No, I mean, I can see. I think what happened to Jalen Smith has spooked a lot of these guys. And I mean, I don't even know. I didn't even realize Texas was bowl eligible. I mean, I don't know what crap bowl they're gonna play in, but I don't blame him. No, I mean, yeah, no. Let's get to some of the coach firings, though. We've talked about Jim Mora Jr. a little bit. Also, Butch Jones in Tennessee, Jim McElwain in Florida. Who are the guys that either have declared or that you'll be paying attention to?
Well, it's really interesting, and we've talked about this over the last couple of years. The first thing that happens when a new coach gets hired is he's going to start making recruiting calls, right? He's going to call all the guys they have committed, any players he may have his eye on that he wants to make sure he gets in on in recruiting. But some of the biggest recruiting jobs he's going to have to make are some of his own players. And I was there at Temple when, you know, there was the crossover from Al Golden to Steve Adazio. And one of the first things that was on the top of the to-do list was to make sure that they tried to keep Muhammad Wilkerson from declaring for the draft. Ultimately, it did not work. Muhammad ended up going in the first round and has had a good NFL career. But that's what all these coaches now are going to do. And so if you're Chip Kelly, you just arrived at UCLA, you know, we talked about Josh Rosen, but it's not just Josh Rosen. You have a couple of those talented running backs like Asoso Jamobo. You have the left tackle, Colton Miller, who our friend Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com has been saying really nonstop over the last few weeks that he's going to declare for the draft and maybe a day two pick. So he may be hard pressed to try and keep him there in town. So those would be the names I'd keep an eye on in UCLA. At Tennessee, for whoever their next coach is going to be, you're going to keep an eye on the nose tackle, Khalil McKenzie, who is the son of Reggie McKenzie and a big, hulking 3-4 nose tackle. And then the linebacker, Darren Kirkland, who hurt early in the year. So we'll see if he does decide to go back or if enough's enough and he's going to make the jump. But Kirkland is a really talented player. I was really impressed with him last year. So it wouldn't shock me if we found out that he were to declare for the draft. Those would be the two names I'd keep an eye on with the Vols. And on defense for the Florida Gators, you've got a couple of guys there, namely the defensive lineman Taven Bryan, who some people think it could be the best player there. But also keep an eye, they've got a tight end there in Siante Lewis. And we've talked a little bit about DeAndre Goolsbee, the senior, who's more of a movement player, can get moved around the formation. Siante Lewis is similar in some ways and needs to get a little bit stronger, but really impressed me as well with his route running and his ability at the catch point. So Siante Lewis, the junior tight end that I think that Dan Mullen and that staff are going to work hard to try and keep in-house. He's a really interesting player. And then Antonio Callaway, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen with him. I mean, he was suspended for the entire season, you know, so obviously no junior tape to work off of. We'll see if he, you know, is he going to stay there? Is he going to transfer? Is he going to jump? That's one of the big storylines, I guess, you're going to see early on with that Florida team and the new staff.
What about, Fran, anybody that you've had a chance to study a little bit deeper? I know you have a lot of duties for the Eagles, but that you've been able to study a little bit deeper since the last show?
Yeah, you know, actually, there's been a lot of buzz about the NC State quarterback, Ryan Finley, and, you know, about how well he's taking care of the football. And, you know, he's got physical tools. He's got prototypical size. He's 6'4", a little light at 210 pounds, but a kid who transferred from Boise State. He followed the offense coordinator, Eli Drinkwitz, from Boise to NC State. And he's used in a pro-style offense. They line him up under center. They put him in the gun at times, playing the pistol. But there's a lot of pro-style concepts. And what I like about Finley is his timing, his rhythm, his ability to get through progressions. I think he sees things pretty quickly. And he's a tough kid. He shows some poise in the pocket. And I like his ability to be able to sidestep the rush, create room for work. He looks comfortable and under control, climbing the pocket against edge pressure. There were a lot of things I really liked. When I watch him, though, I don't know that his physical tools are good enough to the point where you'd say, you know what, this guy's definitely a lock to be, you know, a quality NFL starter. I think he's got enough to be in the league. I just don't know that you're going to look at him and say, man, like, he's got everything he takes to be a quality NFL starter. That being said, I do think he's going to carve out a nice career for himself. He's a redshirt junior, so he's got the ability to go back to school. He is going to be 23 years old, I believe. So we'll see if, just because he's a little bit older, if he wants to kind of jump into the league now at this point. But Finley, I thought, was intriguing. I just don't know if I see him as a quality starter type. And then the other guy would be Vanderbilt linebacker Oren Burks, who is a former defensive back. He's a former safety. But when you watch him, I was expecting, all right, he's a former safety. He's going to have the ability to be able to play sideline to sideline. Great athlete for the linebacker spot. I didn't necessarily see that. You know, he's 6'3". He's listed 222, so definitely will have to get bigger. He's a 3.5-year starter there for the Commodore, so he's played a lot of football. He's got really good length, and he's got good instincts in coverage. I just worry about his overall explosiveness, his burst in a short area. I didn't see enough even to be a quality linebacker at the next level. And also, he just got to get a lot better as a tackler. There were a lot of misses at the point of attack, whether it was just letting ball carriers get through his grasp or just inability to break down and finish one-on-one. And that's going to be an issue for him at the next level, not just as a linebacker, but also if you're going to want him to play special teams. You know, what is special teams all about? You got to be able to play with speed, play with effort, but then also be able to break down and finish one-on-one. And I don't know that Burks can do that at a high level. So that was one of the things that I really wanted to see from him. That being said, though, I walked against Alabama, and I saw Damian Harris break off a long run. And it clicked for me in that moment, one player that Damian Harris kind of reminds me of, Ross. And that's the former Buffalo Bills running back, Fred Jackson. I don't know how much you watched of Alabama and of Harris, but I don't know if that was something that kind of that he may remind you of. That just his running style, I looked – you can't find any dimensions on him coming out of Coe College and what his measurables were and all that stuff. So that I kind of threw that out the window. But his dimensions listed in the NFL, not exactly the same. He was a couple inches taller, I believe, than what Harris is right now coming out of Alabama. But overall running style and just overall skill set, I think he kind of reminds me. That's probably been the one that's really stuck the most with me has been Fred Jackson for Damian Harris.
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely. Let's go head-to-head. Second time in history, Fran, that eight AP top 10 teams are facing off against each other in championship weekend. Number 4, Auburn. Number 6, Georgia. Number 2, Oklahoma. Number 10, TCU. Number 3, Wisconsin. Number 8, Ohio State. Number 1, Clemson. And number 7, Miami. Let's talk Georgia, Auburn, 4 p.m. on CBS.
Yeah, the big storyline going into this game is going to be the health of Kerryon Johnson, right? I mean, he injured his shoulder last week against Alabama. It was a great performance by Johnson before the injury. Tried to gut it out, too. Stayed in the game after the injury. Ended up scoring a touchdown on the play afterwards and was in there for a couple more drives, but ultimately had to leave the game. Finished with 104 yards and a touchdown. He was a big part of their upset win over Georgia a couple weeks ago. You know, he had two catches for 66 yards and a touchdown, 167 more yards on the ground. And so if Kerryon Johnson can go, that's going to be a huge boost for this Auburn Tigers team going up against the former number one team in the country in the Georgia Bulldogs. Charged with kind of keeping him under wraps will be that star middle linebacker for Georgia, Roquan Smith. And he's a little bit undersized, but Roquan Smith is just saw playing sideline to sideline. He's really fast, has the ability to see things quickly. There are some times where I think he gets held up a little bit, but overall I think he sees things pretty quickly, and I like his ability to play sideline to sideline. Really tough kid. 9 tackles and a sack last week against Georgia Tech. Roquan Smith, I think, is one of those names you got to keep an eye on in this game. It's going to be a huge stage for him, maybe a potential coming out party if they're able to unseat the Auburn Tigers. The other player you got to watch for them on offense in terms of Auburn is the quarterback, Jarrett Stidham. Has been outstanding over the last couple of months here for Auburn. They had a great week last week, was very efficient with the football, doesn't turn it over. They are able to attack downfield. They do a lot of things with misdirection and play action and providing the defenders with eye candy in the backfield. So, you know, they kind of set things up, set him up for success. But overall, you have to be with some of the throws that he's made. I'm excited to really kind of dive deep into his game if he does play. I haven't done a full study on him, but just watching that team, you have to be impressed with some of the throws that he's made. So, you know, Ryan Davis and Darius Slayton has been a big play guy for them on the outside. Watch for Stidham hooking up with those guys against this Georgia secondary. Dominique Sanders is a safety on the back end. They've got some young corners in there as well that a lot of people are excited about. And then down in the trenches, the guard, Braden Smith from Auburn, is the guy to watch. I'm not as high on Braden Smith as others, but certainly a viable draft prospect on the inside at guard. Going up against this Georgia defensive front, you know, you have the junior Trenton Thompson at defensive tackle, and then the two edge rushers. Braden Smith won't see much of these two guys, but still, I think they have the ability to wreck the game. You've got Davin Bellamy from one side, the right outside linebacker, and then Lorenzo Carter, 3 tackles last week against Georgia Tech, but might be the best player in that Georgia on that Georgia front line. He's got the ability to be a starter at the next level off the edge. I'm excited about Lorenzo Carter. I've been watching him now for a couple of years. He's got really high upside, so keep an eye on those guys when Auburn has the football.
All right. What about conversely when Georgia has the ball?
Well, there you're going to have to look at the two Georgia backs, obviously, and it's going to come down to can they run the football against this Auburn defensive front that really couldn't do that at an efficient level a few weeks back. So Nick Chubb, who had a touchdown of 53 yards last week against Georgia Tech, Sony Michel, who had over 80 yards and a touchdown last week against the Ramblin' Wreck. You're going to have to keep those guys under check if you're Auburn, if you want to try and win this game. And when they upset them 3 weeks ago, that's exactly what they did. Auburn last week kept Alabama in check on the ground, forced the quarterback to beat them. And I think when you look at Trey Williams, you look at Deshaun Davis, those two guys had huge games last week and in that win over Georgia a couple weeks ago. They're the two guys on the inside you have to watch at the linebacker level. And then all those players up front, I mean, they've been going one, too deep in terms of up front for that Auburn offensive line. A lot of young players. Michael Coe on the inside has had a lot of big plays for them in the backfield over the last few weeks. Keep an eye on him. And ultimately, it's going to come down to the freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm. I mean, if they're unable to move the football on the ground, they're going to try and force Fromm to win the game. And, 3 weeks ago, he was 13 of 28 for 184 yards against Auburn. Third down is really what it comes down to, though. They said in the broadcast numerous times, I can still hear Gary Danielson talking about it, the Auburn staff knew if we can get them to third and long consistently, we're going to win this game because they know that they can get after Jake Fromm. He's not a guy like a Jalen Hurts that's going to beat you with his legs. If you can get Fromm in third and long and get to him, they've got the ability to win this game. That's really what I think is going to come down to for this Auburn team.
What about some other matchups in some of the other games that you'll be watching?
Yeah, Friday night we talked about, obviously, you have Darnold going up against that Stanford defense. But if you kind of flip it around, you've got the Stanford running back, Bryce Love, who's been one of the best playmakers in the country. He's been very productive on the ground. Going up against UCLA or USC linebacker Cameron Smith on the inside, kind of a two-down thumper, but I think has NFL ability. You go to the Big 12 title game on Saturday afternoon, 12:30. All eyes are going to be on Baker Mayfield. We know that. Mark Andrews, the big slot receiver who is going to be a tight end at the next level, all eyes are going to be on him as well. But keep an eye, TCU, they've got a linebacker who's coming back into the lineup, a senior, Travin Howard, who was a first-team all-conference player a year ago. He's flashed every time I've watched the Horned Frogs on TV over the last couple of years. I think he's got the ability to really impact this game. It's a boost for them that he's re-entering the lineup. So keep an eye on him against Oklahoma, Mayfield, Andrews, and the rest of that offense. You got the Big Ten title Saturday night, 8 o'clock, with Ohio State and Wisconsin. Anytime you're talking about Ohio State, you got to talk about that defensive front. And there are times where they've kind of gone quiet, and there are other times where they've wrecked games. You talk about Nick Bosa, who's a future top five pick, maybe as early as 2019. Draymond Jones, who another redshirt sophomore who could declare for the draft. I've said in the past that he kind of reminds me of a Sheldon Richardson type of player, very disruptive, high motor kid, athletic with a quick first step. Draymond Jones on the inside has the ability to wreck a game. Tyquan Lewis and Sam Hubbard as well off the edge for Ohio State are going to be big in this game. And for Wisconsin, the senior tight end, Troy Fumagalli, not sure that he's a star at the next level, but a really solid player. And when Wisconsin has been good on offense, he's been one of the players that has been responsible. So keep an eye on him when they're not running the football with that star freshman running back. And then defensively, keep an eye. We talked about Garrett Dooley earlier going to the Senior Bowl. His counterpart on the other side, Leon Jacobs, has been very disruptive as well over the course of this season. And then lastly, the other game that's happening, 8 o'clock on Saturday night. It sucks that both these games are happening at the same time. ACC title, Clemson against Miami. Keep an eye on that Miami defensive line. They didn't get quite as much production last week in the upset loss against Pitt. Hopefully Chad Thomas, the rest of that group, are able to get things going for their sake against Clemson and watch them against that O-line. Mitch Hyde at the left tackle, Tyrone Crowder, the left guard, who's kind of a big name. That's going to be the match to watch in that game.
Awesome. Well, you said it. Four teams playing each other. Four games, eight top teams. It should be awesome. We'll give you the recap next week as well as start to look ahead to bowl season of college football. Maybe even give you a preview of that Army-Navy game. I'll be on the sideline a week from now. Other than that, catch Fran's Saturday scouting article every week. He's at FDuffy3 on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. And if you want the free Madden for this week, it's really simple. Just buy something at Amazon. You got to buy anyway. And forward it to me, ross@rostucker.com, after you click through the Amazon banner ads over at rostucker.com. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, Judge Judy, John Harbaugh, and the Sklar brothers.
That was definitely a great moment to tell our parents, hey, we're not going to go to law school. We're just going to go ahead and do a job we could have done out of high school. Thanks for paying for college.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.